Welcome to Yahweh.name in Genesis chapter 2. Today we'll be looking, though, at Romans 14, formerly on this website called the Vegetable Gospel. So this file is made in 2014, in the summertime. We're coming to you from the northwest states of North America. Genesis chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, Yahweh ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Yahweh blessed the first day of the week. And Yahweh blessed the seventh day and set it apart, because it was bondage. No, because that in it he had rested from all his work which Yahweh created and made. Yes, that was legalism, according to quite a few of the modern Christian radio preachers on the air there. So that was the first place of mention, Genesis or Bereshit chapter 2. And we need not to go to the last place of mention when we establish a thought, a doctrine. We need to go to the first place of mention. So that was it. And there's many others, of course. Romans 14 then. In the King James Version, Romans 14, verse 1, in the book of Romans, here are several interpretations of verse 1, starting with the King James. Him that is weak in the faith, receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. The parallel scripture versions include Holman Christian Standard Bible, which reads in Romans 14, 1, accept anyone who is weak in faith, but don't argue about doubtful issues. Now, what we just read in Genesis chapter 2 was not a doubtful issue. So Paul is not speaking here, no matter which version we're going to be reading from today, even if it were the Alexandrian version from the NIV, the Jehovah's Witness, or the Latin Roman Catholic Bibles. Paul is still speaking here in Romans 14:1, and he's not speaking about the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not a doubtful issue. It never was and never will be, as we shall see. So International Standard Version says, accept anyone who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of arguing over differences of opinion. Well, I have a problem with that statement there, that interpretation, because that means that we can't discuss differences of opinion. No, it said here, arguing. So, no, we're not to be arguing. Well, we can be disputing. Paul disputed. Messiah disputed. So if that means the same thing, this would be a wrong interpretation. We're not supposed to argue. But I think the connotation of arguing here is something like we get into a feud and no one ever winds up being the winner. Maybe one side would win, yes, but the other would lose, and probably the wrong one, the liberal person, would win. So we don't want to argue about things. We want to discuss. So I hope that they didn't mean that we can't discuss differences of opinion, because that would leave out a whole lot of our conversation these days. We can't talk about differences of opinion. We'll never get to anywhere. From the Net Bible, now receive the one who is weak in the faith and do not have disputes over differing opinions. The Aramaic Bible in plain English says, but offer a hand to the one who is weak in faith and do not be divided by your disputes. Going back to the International Standard, accept anyone who is weak in faith but not for the purpose of arguing over differences of opinion. Then the Sovereign's Word translation, welcome people who are weak in faith, but don't get into an argument over differences of opinion. So my comment, you should discuss the teachings. Do not get angry. Don't use carnal methods to win the fight. You know, go after the jugular vein, stomp the person's neck down with your foot, and keep him down on the floor of the altar and prove to him that you're right. No, we don't want to get into that kind of thing. They did that once at a place called Squabble Hill, near Eugene, Oregon. Scriptures for keeping the Sabbath, We read Genesis chapter 2, and Yahweh blessed the seventh day and set it apart. That was the FPOM, the first place of mention, not the LPOM, last place of mention. Another place of mention is Hebrews 4. So this is pretty much near the end of the scriptures, end of the so-called Bible. Hebrews 4, 7 through 11. There therefore remains a keeping of the seventh day Sabbath. You can read more of that, 7 through 11 in Hebrews 4. Well, I will, because seems to me that there's a lot of relative material there. So let's see, there's Peter, before Peter. Hebrews 4, again, he limits a certain day. So, well, a better word for limiting would be specifying. Again, he specifies a certain day. Again, in David, quote, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua ben Nun had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There therefore remaineth a rest to the people of Yahweh. For he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as Yahweh did from his. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest. Yeah, so let's enter into the rest. We don't labor laboriously. We ease into his rest. Well, sometimes preparation day, it does seem like laboring, doesn't it? Let's therefore to enter into his rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of Yahweh is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And he talks about, in 15, we have not a high priest. So we do have a high priest who can be touched, is the converse. It says here, we do not have a high priest which can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So he can. He feels our infirmities. But he was in all points tempted like we were, yet without sin. Let's therefore come boldly unto the throne of favor, that we may obtain mercy and find favor to help in time of need. Matthew 5, 17, Messiah did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. To do away with it? Well, that would say Messiah did not come to destroy the law, but to do away with it. So that can't be the meaning of it. But no, he came to magnify it, I says in Isaiah 42. But he came to fill it full, came to make it even fuller than it was, to fill full, to magnify, to extrapolate, to make it even more clear, to make it more distinct. Yes. Then, of course, we had that scripture there in Hosea and in Genesis 2 so far. In Exodus 20, the Ten Commandment, basic law, which includes the blessing you have on the Sabbath, on the seventh day, but not on the first day. That was not a cultural thing, only for people up to the year 2000. No, that's a blessing for all of us throughout eternity, the Sabbath day. And there's not a curse, there's not a sin to disregard the first day of the week. There is no command to keep the first day. There's no penalty for not doing assembly on the first day of the week. But there is for not doing an assembly on the seventh day, as we just read, as well as on the seven annual feast days. Now, the resurrection of the Messiah was on a date of the month, not a day of the week. Now, the resurrection of Messiah, I have to enter that into the on our webpage, yahweh.name. I forgot to leave out those two words, the resurrection of Messiah. So the resurrection of Messiah was on a date of the month, not a day of the week, necessarily. And it never changed the law. Matthew 12, 38 through 40, Matthew 28, 1. And you can see all the examples of those in the book of Acts keeping the Sabbath still long after the resurrection of Messiah. And that would be in Acts 13, 42, Acts 16:13, Acts 17:2, also in Acts 9:20, referring to a feast day there, I believe. Acts 18:21, Acts 20:16, and Acts 27:9. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So there's seven examples set for us in the book of Acts. And of course, Matthew 28:1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to grow dusk toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, and Messiah was not there. And that interpretation that I read is from Barry's Greek interlinear, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to grow dusk toward the first day of the week. And that would be the correct interpretation of that. Growing dusk toward the first day of the week, that's sunset. From sunset to sunset is the Sabbath, each day being 24 hours, starting at sunset and not at midnight nor at sunrise. So what about the venerable day of the sun? Would you sell your soul for the day of the sun? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The reward of heaven is eternal life. Now, we're not saved by works, Ephesians 2:8-10, for we are his workmanship, created unto Messiah, unto good works. But we are saved by unmerited favor, by the mercy of Yahweh, by his blood. Yes, our sins are washed away by the blood of Messiah. We're given the resurrection power by the resurrection of Yahushua Messiah, and we're enabled to do Yahweh's Torah. His workmanship is created in us by the Ruach HaKadosh, or that is the Spirit. So in Romans 14, those doubtful disputations, I don't think that they are the Jewish days of Purim or Hanukkah. They could be. Those are not doubtful disputations, but I just threw that in as a possibility that Paul is talking about. These are days that we don't necessarily have to keep. There's nowhere in Scripture where it tells when that these Hanukkah and Purim feasts are kept. And the added fasting days in Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, there's some fasting there. There's pagan feast days, the days, months, times, and years, mentioned in Galatians 4. You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you my labor in vain, he says there to the Galatianists. Doubtful disputations could be New Age devices, visualization, psychological heresies in religion, laws in the Talmud, the Jewish Talmud, the oral traditions, Constantine's holidays at the Roman Catholic Church, Jeroboam's holidays, when he changed to the first day of the week. Do not strive over pagan customs, Paul says. If men are not to discuss, so he read this here, to not discuss these, if we're not to discuss our differences, if we're not to discuss and study and have dialogue about the Sabbath, though, which is not a doubtful disputation, if we're not to discuss the unclean and clean, many will remain in ignorance and in sin. We can understand that by reading the book of Romans, chapters 6-8 this morning. But we're going to move on here. But what about bondage? If we keep the Sabbath, is that bondage? I think that the nominal Protestant idea of that the Sabbath is bondage is against Yahweh's law, but it's against the law about keeping the Sabbath, having a rest day, about having a convocation on that day. It's about striving over trying to do away with Yahweh's blessing of the rest day of the Sabbath. It's about trying to do away with the great blessing of keeping his feasts, such as the feasts of tabernacles, that great the time of the wilderness when the children of Israel traveled, and the great time in the future, and the great time now when we tabernacle with Yah in our Sukkots, in our tents, and typifying that great time when he will tabernacle with us, when he will dwell and inhabit the praises of his people, literally as we stand in his presence perhaps right there in the throne room. So we want to get ready. We want to be excited. People argue about dates of Yahweh's second coming. Sometimes they just discuss it. So it's okay to discuss. We don't want to argue with hatred in our hearts about it. But, you know, I think it's an exciting thing to speculate about, you know, Yahweh could come back tonight. Yahweh could come back 2,000 years after his resurrection. According to Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, if one day with Yahweh is equal to one of our 1,000 years, then he says, after 2 days, I will lift you up and you will forever live in my sight. So it seems to indicate that after his resurrection being approximately the year 29, that he possibly could return in 2029. So I'm going to speculate about that. And I'll tell you, if I'm wrong, I'm going anyway. I'm going to the grave and waiting for Yahweh because I'll be dead in 20 or 30 years anyway. So it's not going to matter. They can argue over my grave as to whether or not I was right. Would it matter? Do we want freedom under Yahweh's law, under his Torah? Or do we want bondage of the world system of Satan, of HaSatan? Do we want liberty in Yah and in his Messiah, in our Father? Isaiah 9:6. Do we want liberty in Yah, our Father? So we need to keep his commandments. They are not burdensome. We're reminded there in 1 John 5, verses 2 and 3, his commandments are not burdensome. And this is the love of Yah, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And also in Psalm 1, and then Psalm 19, and Psalm 119, the longest psalm and longest chapter in all of Scripture. But Psalm 1 says, as I flip there, not Proverbs, no, not Psalm 30, let's see, there we go. I can never quite remember the verbiage there. 1:1 in the book of Tehillim. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law, the church law. No? In the laws of the Roman Catholic Church? No? No? But his law, his delight is in the law of Yahweh, or Yahweh, and in his law does he meditate night and day. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall not not be bondage. No, it shall prosper, it says here. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Do you want to be there at the tabernacles of the future in that great wedding supper when Yahweh, or rather his son Yahusha, consummates the marriage with his bride? The bridegroom is coming quickly. Yes, I think it could be 2029, but it could be tonight. It could be in 1,000 years, but I'd like it to be in my lifetime. Oh, yes. I would like to be, you know, after the dead are raised first, that we which are alive and remain shall be gathered up in his presence and to be alive with him forever and ever. It says there in, I want to guess, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, either that or it's 2 Peter, with the last chapter. I can never get that quite in my mind there to quote it, to quote the passage accurately. But Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with Yahweh 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's kind of like John 3:16, isn't it? But it's more clear. You know, all the books that were ever written in religious books, and the Roman Catholic Church, you know, there's a lot of great Catholics out there that I love. I love them all, but you know, the books about Mary, I'll bet you that there's not one book that's about Mary that was written by these Catholic authors that says that we should repent of our sins. And I bet that they don't necessarily bring esteem to the Father of all and to the Messiah. I think they would probably put the focus right on Miriam, who is dead right now, waiting like David in the grave, waiting for the return. But anyway, way off the track there, I know. But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, that great noise and so on. The heaven, the earth, they shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of people ought we to be in all separated conversation and goodliness, looking for and hasting. See, there we were hasting here earlier. Hasting the coming of the day of Yahweh, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But we, or nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Well, it's going to be a little bit about like this present earth. I think he's going to reconstruct and refurbish this earth. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. So go turn on the carnal television, listen to some carnal rock and roll, Christian rock and roll. No, it says, be without spot and blameless. Do not imitate the world, but be transformed by the word, by the renewing of your mind, by reading the scripture, having your nose in the scripture 24 hours. No. Some people, I don't know, they just want to take what we say to an extreme and want to exaggerate. No, we're not having our nose in the scripture 24 hours, but, well, whatever the time is, it's not enough. I know that. But some of us could, we could fellowship more. We could fellowship a little bit. We don't want to do that forever on infinitum without getting enough study in the Word. And we're not reading the Scriptures cover to cover. We should study the Scriptures. It's not a race to see if we can get through all the Scriptures. That's not the goal. But study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. Right, yes. And where is the command to keep the venerable first day Sunday? There is no command, none, except by the Roman Catholic Church. We throw Yahweh's laws in the trash can in compromising his word. We don't, but someone does, don't they? They want to throw his laws in the trash can. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Luke 9:23-26. Luke 10:12. Luke 12:47. And Luke 13:23. And I'll come back and actually read those if I get a chance here during the podcast on the website here. In Revelation, in Zechariah 14, in Isaiah 66. That's where we will worship in the future in New Jerusalem. Yes, side by side, but by the Savior's side. Yes, he's closer to you than any friend. We'll sing about what a friend we have in Messiah. What a friend we have in him, in the King of Kings, and the Sovereign One, and the Mighty One of Israel, in the Commander-in-Chief. Yes, we esteem him, and we esteem the Father above all, yes, because the Messiah points us to the Father. So there's just a little bit of difference there, I think, in esteeming Messiah and esteeming the Father. There is not a whole lot of difference there, but there is a difference. Okay? Well, I hope so. And but we're not going to go into this with a mindset of westernized culture, unscriptural deceptions, and unscriptural denominational teaching. We don't want to get into, a denomination can be good. I like the structure there the discipline of getting together in a denomination. That part is good, where they have a structure to the service instead of everything just loose and supposedly led by the spirits. Sometimes people just lay around and in their pajamas and drink beer and call that the Sabbath. I've seen this done by Sabbath keepers. That's not being realistic and being set apart. That's not being real with Yahweh. It's not being honest. It's not being honest with ourselves, or, you know, we're trying to fool each other. I don't think you can fool me. I've got into enough of that monkey business myself in the past. So. But it's not a sin to not worship on Sunday. Furthermore, where in the scripture is there a command to change Yahweh's calendar, his Passover, his Sabbath, because of some reason, like the blood moon, for example? There's no legitimate excuse. This year in 2014, many were keeping the Passover on the wrong day. They kept it on the 15th of the month instead of the 14th. And some say, oh no, how, oh, that's terrible. We're all going to go to hell because we kept the 15th. Well, Yahweh does not grade on a curve. He tells us his standard in the word. And if we love him enough, we're going to obey him and do it precisely, as he says, at least with the enablement by the Spirit, as close as possible to what Yahweh wants us to do. Luke 16:15. Oh, here we go. Okay, I did print these out for you, after all. Good. Oh, I just can't keep up with everything. Oh, well, Luke 16:15. For Yahweh knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of Yahweh. Luke 17, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than one tittle of the Torah to fail. That's Luke 16:17. Receive a blessing for all Gentiles and Jews by honoring our Father Yahweh. Luke 14:33, he that forsaketh not all that he has, Messiah speaking here, of course, which I should have told you at the beginning, he that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my emissary or disciple. Luke 13:24, we're going backwards here, and then we'll go to chapter 12. Chapter 13 of Luke, verse 24, are there few that will be saved? And Messiah said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many will seek to enter in and shall not find it. By the way, the Greek word in there is phugo. Coincidentally, I guess. Luke 12:31, and I quote, Messiah said, but rather seek you the kingdom of Yah, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. So no, we're not a whole numerous mega church, but fear not, little. We're not a huge ecumenical one world global system type church who tries to control everything according to a agenda. Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I kind of like that. And Luke 12:37, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself. So the Messiah is speaking here, and he shall gird himself and make them, or make you, to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. He will serve you. Oh, man, can you believe that? That the Son of Yahweh will gird himself and make you to sit down and serve you meat. Yes, where right now he is serving us. He's serving us the Word through his very humble, incapable servant, Stephania. So now verse 10 of chapter 17, verse 10. We are all unprofitable servants, even if we have done that which was our duty to do. And Romans 12:1, it is only our reasonable service. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to the world, to its culture, to all the stuff the media tries to dish out and stuff down our hearts and our minds and to hypnotize us with that. Or some of the teachers in the public school systems with their... OBE, outcome-based education. Romans 12:1, it is our reasonable service. Be not conformed by the things of the culture of this world, but rather be transformed by the word, by the faith, by the renewing of your mind. It is only our reasonable service. Yeah, that's only a starting place. Just keeping the Sabbath, it doesn't save us, and it's not an end in itself, and keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, not an end in itself, but it is service unto Yahweh, and it's a reasonable service. He does very much appreciate it, but it's only a starting place. We could go on to do other deeds, miracles in Yahweh's name. Luke 18:30, chapter 18, And Yahweh says, and that person who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. And then read Deuteronomy or Devarim chapter 22, talking about the virginity there, that a man tried to steal her virginity and then say that she was not a virgin in the first place. So there was grounds for divorce. And I assume to remarry, Deuteronomy 22, where are the tokens of our virginity? Where is that wedding cloth that proves that we have not committed spiritual fornication with the religions of this world and committed idolatry, sun worship and all that? Where are the tokens of our virginity? Where is the robe of righteousness that Messiah covers us with his righteous robes? Yes, with the righteousness Messiah, Yahusha, how he died for us and rose again from the grave after 3 nights and 3 days and gave us all this wonderful nature and to enjoy all these wonderful people. He gave us his word. He gave us all this creation around. He gave us so much. He gave us the miracles. Sleep is a real miracle, isn't it? Some people can't sleep. And then in Luke 12:18, he said, "This I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But Yahweh said unto them, Fool, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, here on this earth, in other words, and not enrich toward Yahweh." Yes, there was a saying that somebody said in the Sabbath church that a man is no earthly good, you know. He's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Well, I'm sorry, sir, but brother, but it should be, don't be so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good, is how that should have been. But these people get their teaching out of Berkeley, out of the 1960s. They get them out of the media, the world, secular, cultural, Babylonian media, I'll call it. I don't know if it's a Babylon or not. Some of it is. But we got to take a quick break, and maybe there'll be some beautiful music that someone can sort of duck in there underneath the voice and bring up the sounds of the celebration singers from Indiana. Praise Yah. Oh, My friend and I, the Celebration Singers. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionated one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. And that business could be the taking care of Yahweh's house and of his people. So don't be slothful in business or in Yahweh's business. Be fervent in spirit, serving Yahweh. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints or believers, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If at all possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith Yahweh in Deuteronomy. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, that doesn't mean to just go out and do random acts to everybody. Just give away your money without any thought or checking into it. No, first of all, we need to give to our family and to the believers. And then that's your priority. But we also could help others as well. So it doesn't mean to put the enemy first place in our life to the, to our close ones and to our believers, to put them back on the back burner. It doesn't mean that at all. I know that because I've read other scripture. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I've been reading from the book of Romans, chapter 12, where the first verse says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of Yah, that you present your bodies a living, says sacrifice, we change that to offering, praise Yah, a living offering, pure, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect, the perfect will of Yahweh. And then back to that other theme in verse 3, For I say, through the favor given unto me, that to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to. Than he ought to think of himself. No, that's so much for self-esteem. But we are to think soberly, according as Yahweh has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And it talks about we have many members in the body. That was Romans chapter 12. So what did it say? Let me sum that up. Always let our conscience be our guide. Is that right? No. Jeremiah 17 says, The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that all have sinned and fallen short of the esteem of Yahweh, Romans 3:23. That all of us have sinned and that we can deceive ourselves very, quite easily. I could say, well, I'm Stefania. I'm saved. I've been saved for 40 years now, approximately, and I can do no wrong. So everything I say is correct. No, that's not right. Unless it lines up with Yahweh's word. Oh, no, I speak by the Spirit. No, it has to line up with Yahweh's word. If it doesn't do that, it doesn't make it. Okay, how about this? Always let our culture be our guide. No, we just read to the contrary, to not be conformed to the world. Always let our method of interpretation of Scripture be the truth. Is this the truth? No, the Scripture interprets itself. So that was a freebie for you, a little extra there that I've thrown in this podcast. The secular and the religious media are to hold us as their subjects and be our mouthpiece and our heart. Or if you're in Africa, to be our kidney. But no, the secular and the religious media are not to be our the head of our conscience and our heart. No, Yahweh's word is, Yahweh's instruments, Yahweh's people, Yahweh's leaders who know the truth, I need to qualify that, and who speak the truth from Yahweh's word, they can lead us. Here's another saying, we are to commit lewdness. Let us commit lewdness. Let the modern music of the media please our flesh. Well, that really goes in strong contrast to what we've been reading in the Word of Yahweh. All through the Word, the Torah, all the way from Genesis through Revelation. Well, we're not to conform to that, to the worldly carnal beat. We're going to be reading in Galatians chapters 2 and 3 in the New Testament. And we're also reading from a new version of Scripture by Messianic Hebraic Hezekiah Haas. Hezekiah from TNT, Torah and Testimony Revealed. And he writes, why a new translation? To date, all translations, including Messianic Hebrew Roots style translations, fail to translate key Hebrew idioms, causing the same confusion concerning the place of Torah in a believer's walk to remain largely unresolved in the emissary or Paul letters. This translation resolves that confusion by translating the meaning of the Hebrew idioms into English so that the reader of the text can understand the text in the same way that the Israeli Jewish believers coming out of the temple-based Judaism of the first century would have understood it. So the same way that the Jewish believers coming out of the temple-based Judaism of the first century would have understood it. Hebrew culture, as in American culture, uses idioms to convey commonly understood concepts with language pictures. In English, you say, it really rained on his parade, to mean that something important a person was really looking forward to was heavily, didn't turn out so well. Or you might say, the lights are on, but nobody's home, to communicate that though somebody looks like they are awake, they clearly are not paying attention or understanding what is being said, and waiting for the screen to come up here. For the Hebrew is the same way as in the cultural language of Scripture. In first century Israel, the faith was centered around the temple, with dependence on animal sacrifices offered up after the priestly order of Levi for atonement of sin and those looking forward to Messiah's coming. So reading from the King James, from the original scrolls, the Antioch Scrolls, in Galatians chapter 2, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Yahusha HaMashiach, even as we have believed in Messiah, that we might be justified by the faith of Messiah, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified or made right. But if while we seek to be justified by Messiah, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Messiah the minister of sin? Yahweh forbid. For I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto Yahweh. I am impaled with Messiah, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Messiah liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of Yah, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the unmerited favor of Yah, for if righteousness came by the law, then Messiah is dead in vain. And that's the last verse, 21. Particularly, we're going to be reading that from this TNT translation. So, Galatians 2:16. We know that a man is not acquitted or pardoned through the Levitical sacrifices, but by faith in Messiah, Yahusha, and here they use Yeshua, but we will use, as we have studied, we'll use Yahusha, so that even we now as believers in the Messiah, Yahusha, as the believing proselytes, that we might now also be acquitted and pardoned through faith in him and his sacrificial death and ruach empowered resurrection, and not through the Levitical sacrifices, for through the Levitical order of sacrifices can no flesh be pardoned or acquitted. But if, while we seek to be pardoned and acquitted through Messiah, we ourselves are found to be guilty of violating the Torah, does that make the Messiah a servant of sin? Absolutely not. For if I rebuild those things which I destroyed, I'll make myself a Torah violator all over again. For I, through the Torah, died to the law of sin, so that I might live my life now for Yahweh. Let's look again in 2:19 in the King James. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto Yahweh. Now to the TNT version. It's also Jews for Yeshua version. 2:19, for I through the law died to the law of sin, so that I might live my life now for Yahweh. King James again, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto Yahweh. So dead to the law of sin, so that I might live my life now for Yahweh. For my fleshly desires have been impaled, even as Messiah was impaled, so that it no longer is I and my fleshly nature that lives, but it's the Messiah who lives in me, and the life I now live in this body, I now live through faith in the Son of Yahweh, who loved me and voluntarily offered himself up for me. I do not set aside, now here's the last verse that I wanted to point out, verse 21, I do not set aside the favor of Yahweh by saying this, for if righteousness concerning my past Torah violations comes through the Levitical order of sacrifices, then Messiah's death was for nothing. Chapter 3. In King James it says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Messiah has been evidently set forth, impaled among you, this only have I learned of you, receive you the spirit of the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? So, in verse 2, here in this TNT translation, this only I want to learn from you, did you receive the Ruach, the Spirit, through the offering of animal sacrifices of the temple, or did you receive the Ruach, the Spirit, through faith in what you heard about Yeshua, Yahusha's death and resurrection? Did you receive the Ruach through faith and resurrection, or through animal sacrifices? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Ruach? Are you now made perfect through the flesh of animals? Have you endured all the great suffering for nothing, if indeed it has all been for nothing? Therefore, he who has provided the Ruach, the Spirit, to you, and who has worked miracles among you, does he do it through the Levitical sacrifices? Or does he do it through faith in what you heard about Yahusha's death and resurrection? That's verse 5, so let's read the King James there. He therefore that ministers in you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 5. So does he do it through the Levitical sacrifices or does he do it through faith in what you heard about Yahusha's death and resurrection? For just as Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was accounted to him as righteousness, even so it is here. Therefore know that only those who are of this faith are sons of Abraham. And the scriptures, foreseeing Yahweh would pardon and acquit the nations by this same faith, for Abraham himself was a Gentile when he received the promise, preached the good message to Abraham ahead of time, saying, In you all the nations shall be blessed. Now that comment was made there, for Abraham himself was a Gentile when he received the promise. That's a special comment there that was made for you. It's not part of the scripture. Verse 9, for seeing those, so then, those who are of this faith are blessed with Abraham, who also believed in the Messiah's coming. 10, for as many as partake in the Levitical order of sacrifices remain under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do all the things written in the scroll of the Torah. And that no one is pardoned and acquitted through the Levitical sacrifices is evident, for the pardoned and acquitted shall live through faith in Yahushua's death and resurrection. Let's go back to the King James for a moment in verse 10 and 11, and certainly not criticizing the King James because it is from the original scrolls. And we want to make that very clear. Some of the new, the modern translations, including the New King James Version, are from Alexandria, Egypt, and actually do change and take out a number of verses, but especially the NIV, that's the New International Version, does take out many, many verses compared to your original King James. And any other version that is a takeoff on the King James. Galatians 3:9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Verse 10, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. It is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But then no man is justified by the law in the sight of Yahweh. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. That was verses 10 and 11. We'll go back now to the TNT version. Okay. Verse 9, so then those who are of this faith are blessed with Abraham, who also believed in the Messiah's coming. For as many, and that was a footnote, who believed in the Messiah's coming. Verse 10, for as many as partake in the Levitical order of sacrifices remain under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do all things written in the scroll of the Torah. And verse 11, no one is pardoned and acquitted through the Levitical sacrifices. It's evident, for the pardoned and acquitted shall live through faith in, and then to make sense of this, to live through faith in what? In Yahusha's death and resurrection, of course. Verse 12, and the sacrifices after the order of Levi, that was an insert there, the sacrifices after the order of Levi, are not of faith, or not of Abraham's faith. Though the man who has done them, in the past, in other words, the man who has done them shall live as a result of their faithful adherence to that former covenant. Verse 13, but it is through the Messiah and his voluntary self-sacrifice that we have now been delivered from the curse, by taking the curse upon himself on our behalf. For as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, so that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the people of the nations through the Messiah, Yahusha, so that we might all receive the promise of the Ruach, the Spirit, through faith. Through faith in what? Through faith in him and his sacrificial death, in the Messiah's death. Brothers of the covenant, or he writes, brothers of the womb, let me provide an example from a human perspective. Take even a human covenant made between two men. How that once it was agreed to neither party, how that once it has been agreed to, once it's been agreed to, neither party to the covenant can make it void or add anything to it. And then we want to go to another verse in the King James that many Protestants and Catholics have a problem with. Many people have a problem. It's verse 17. And in the King James it says, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of Yah in Messiah, or they say of God in Christ, before of Yah in Messiah, the law, which was 430 years after, can't disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. Verse 17 and the TNT. And so this I say, that the Levitical sacrifices and tabernacle, introduced 430 years after the covenant and promises given to Abraham, cannot void that covenant previously agreed to and confirmed between Abraham and Yahweh concerning his coming, the anointed one's coming, to cause that Abrahamic covenant and promise to become useless or of no effect. For if the inheritance was to be through the Levitical order, it would be no longer be of the promise given through the Abrahamic covenant, but Yahweh gave the inheritance to Abraham through the promise that he made with Abraham. Verse 19, what purpose then is the law, the sacrificial law after the order of Levi? What purpose did it serve? 3:19 in the King James. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions,
Now, the added law found in Jeremiah 7:22 was due to transgressions.
Added law, where he said that he gave to us his promises, his commandments, statutes, and judgments, but he did not speak about animal sacrifices. He did not speak of those things that were added later because of sin, and so that these were a punishment to have to give the sin offerings and the death penalty. So that was the added law, not Yahweh's Ten Commandments, not Yahweh's commandments, statutes, or judgments. So let's see what it says here in the in this new version by Hezekiah in 3:19. What purpose did the sacrificial law, after the order of Levi, serve? It was necessary to add because of Torah violations, at least until the seed could arrive to whom the covenant and promise had been made, and that had been appointed through heavenly messengers by the hand of a mediator. Well, the next problem verse is coming up here in a moment. And verse 21 will be one. And verse 23, and then it talks about the schoolmaster in 24. So, okay. Verse 20 in the TNT and Hezekiah's version. Now, a mediator does not mediate for only one party in a covenant, but for two. Yahweh is the one, and Hezekiah added, and Abraham the other. Verse 21, and here's a insert, are the Levitical sacrifices ordained after the order of Levi, then against the promises of Yahweh? Absolutely not. For the sacrifices ordained after the order of Levi against the promises? Absolutely not. For if there had been a sacrificial law given under the order of Levi that could have given resurrection of life from the grave, in other words, then certainly righteousness regarding our past Torah violations would have been through that priestly order. And the scriptures declare that all have embraced sin, but this promise through faith and the death and resurrection of the Messiah are available to all who believe. Verse 23, but before this faith in Yahushua's sacrificial death and resurrection, before this faith had arrived, we were kept safe under the Levitical order and embraced by it as a mother embraces her child to her breast for the faith which would later be revealed. So that embraced by it, and then we have the nuance there, as a mother embraces her child to her breast for the faith which would later be revealed. Verse 24, here we go now. Let's read that in King James first and then come back here. I went too far. A scripture too far. I went to a scripture too far. Okay, 24. Pardon me. King James. I pick up the book. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Messiah, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. That was verse 25 in the King James. By the way, Romans 8:7 says, for the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, is not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. And Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. So back to Galatians 3:25, King James, KJV. For after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all children of Yah by faith in Messiah. For as many of you as have been baptized in Messiah have put on Messiah. Okay, now let's go back here to TNT version, or paraphrase, with the idioms and the understanding here in Galatians 3:24. Therefore, the Levitical sacrifices acted as our tutor to lead us to Messiah, so that we could become ultimately pardoned and acquitted through faith. Faith in what? He explains, faith in his sacrificial death made after the priestly order of Melchizedek. For his, whose sacrificial death? Messiah's, Yahusha's sacrificial death made after the priestly order of Melchizedek. Or Melchizedek, okay, well, I'm not that Hebrew yet. Oh, yes, I am, and I don't know it. 25, but now that faith through our Savior Yahusha's death and resurrection, now that faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. What's the tutor again? The Levitical sacrifices acted as our tutor to lead us to Messiah. That was verse 24. So we're no longer under the tutor. Verse 26, and you are now all sons of Yahweh through faith in the Messiah, Yahusha, and his death and resurrection. And then verse 27 talks about immersion, about being tubaled, or there's an rakats is the Hebrew word for immersion, and not the one that Jews have used for many years, the mikveh. No, that means to pool. Okay, it's too much information, TMI there. 3:27, Galatians, for as many of you as were immersed under the water into Messiah, you are now being clothed with Messiah. 28, where there is no longer Jew nor Greek, for you are now all Israelites. He inserts, you are no longer Jew nor Greek, and where there is neither slave nor free, we are all now to be slaves to righteousness and free from sin. For we are all now to be slaves to righteousness and free from sin, where there is neither male nor female. And another insert, for all can now enter into the set-apart place, the set-apart Kodesh place, through the blood of Yahusha. For you are all now one flesh in Messiah, Yahusha, as even Adam and Hava were one flesh prior to the fall. 29, last verse, and if you belong to the Messiah, Yahusha, then you are a descendant of Abraham and an heir according to the covenant and promise given to him. So, and then in chapter 5 of Galatians, if we could finish up here. Let's see, we have the works of the flesh. I'd like to read this list from Hezekiah as he's, okay, here it is, in Galatians 5:17. Here's his interpretation using the nuances. And his understanding, he's been a Jew all of his life, a Yahudite all of his life there in the Northwest. Galatians 5:17, the desires of the flesh are contrary to the desires of the Ruach, and the desires of the Ruach, the Spirit, are contrary to the desires of the flesh. These are opposed to one another, so that you, when acting in the flesh, will ultimately fail to accomplish that which you desired to do in the Ruach, or Spirit. Verse 18 of chapter 5, but if you allow yourself to be led by the Ruach, the Spirit, then you will no longer be under the law. Under what? Well, he puts the meaning in here. If you allow yourselves to be led by the Ruach, then you will no longer be under the power of the law of sin, the law of sin and death. I don't want to be under the law of sin and death. We don't want to be under the law of sin. Verse 19, and the works of the fleshly nature are obvious. For example, here's the list now. Here's the list in 5:19, Galatians in the New Testament. 5:19, adultery, prostitution, and premarital relations. So that was under the heading of porneia, or fornication. Okay, so prostitution and premarital relations, the works of the flesh, touching or consuming that which is unclean, unrestrained and undisciplined behavior. Verse 20, idol worship, that's expressly forbidden by the law of Yahweh. A quote from Kenneth Copeland, the charismatic Kenneth Copeland back in the 80s. He did have some good things to say, but also he had a lot of mixture from the New Age movement. He said, pray to yourself, because I'm in yourself, and you are in myself, and we are one spirit, saith the Lord. You need to realize you're not a spiritual schizophrenic, half God and half Satan. You are all God, Kenneth said. He said, and I strongly disagree with that. We'd be worshiping ourselves, or at least I'd be asking you and telling you, commanding you, you must worship me because I'm a God, and you're not. Another quote is, you don't have a God in you, you are one. So it goes on and on. I say this and repeat, so it doesn't upset you too badly. It says, so it don't upset you bad. When I read the Bible where he, Jesus, says, I am, Kenneth says, I am too. Wow, that's really blasphemous there. He should have known better, huh? But maybe he's changed. We've prayed for him. So here we are. Idol worship in verse 20. Sorcery, hatred, argumentivists, arguing to the point of hatred and anger and irrational jealousy, uncontrolled led outburst of anger, selfish pursuits, divisions, false teachings, envy, murder, drunkenness, wild partying, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, even as I have told you in the past times, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Galatians 5:22 in the TNT version, Jews for Yeshua. But the fruit of the Ruach, the Spirit, is love, joy, shalom, patient, endurance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, bridled behavior, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Messiah have likewise impaled their flesh also with all its passions and desires. He used the word crucified there, but I changed that to impaled. Verse 25, for if we live in the Ruach, there's a conditional attached to that word. If we live in the Ruach, then we will also walk in the Spirit. So those that say, I just live by the Spirit. Well, if you're not walking in the Spirit, then you can't interpret the Spirit. You cannot walk in the Spirit and not live in the Spirit, and vice versa. If we live in the Spirit, then we also will walk in the Spirit. And let us not become overconceited and provoke one another to anger or envy one another. Brothers of the covenant, if a man is overtaken in any unintentional violation of Torah, then you who are spiritual, restore such a person with an attitude of gentleness, considering your own weaknesses, so that you do not also fall into temptation. Bear one another's burdens, and so bring to completion the instruction of the Messiah in your life. And if anyone considers himself to be somebody when he is nobody, then he is deceiving himself. So let each person examine his own behavior first, and not just the behavior of others. And then he will have rejoicing in his own change in behavior, and not just in others. Verse 6:5, for every person shall bear their own burdens in life, and let him who is a student in the word share in all good things with he who teaches the word. Do not be deceived. Yahweh is not mocked, for whatever a man plants, that will he also harvest. He who plants to his flesh will of the flesh harvest corruption, but he who plants to his Ruach, to the Spirit, will of the Ruach, the Spirit, harvest eternal life. And let us not grow tired while doing what is morally outstanding and right, for in the appointed season we will bring in the harvest if we do not lose hope. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do that which is beneficial to all people, especially to those who are of the family of faith. Verse 13, but even those who are circumcised perform or offer required sacrifices perfectly, but only desire to have you circumcised for conversion to the Levitical order, so that they may boast in your flesh and avoid persecution. 6:14, Yahweh forbid that I should boast in anything other than in the impalement of the Messiah. Yahusha, our Savior, through whom the world is as impaled to me, and I to the world. For in the Messiah, Yahusha, neither the offering up of sacrifices, as many believing Jews still do. Neither the offering up of sacrifices, as many believing Jews still do, nor refraining from the Levitical sacrifices, as the believers from among the nations now do, is of any consequence. For it is only through the Messiah's death and resurrection that we become a new creation. Verse 16, for as many as walk according to this rule, shalom, and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of Yahweh. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I have as evidence in my body The scars that I received from my commitment to my Master Yahusha, brothers of the womb, the favor of our Master, the Messiah Yahusha, be with your Ruach. May it be also even as I have spoken it. So that was the book of Galatians. And soon we'll have information as to how you can purchase that or obtain the book of Galatians, as well as some other translations and paraphrases. A number of Kenyans, people from Kenya, pastors have asked me to come and preach there to them. You people who have lived in Africa in poverty, that, you know, so much as we know about it all, that you lived in poverty and humility for so many years, how would we know more than you how to live a humble, righteous life? If anyone should teach someone else about humility and the way to live and live in righteousness, I would think it would be somebody from, at one time, a poor country that was afflicted and stricken, a people who were persecuted and lived their faith regardless of the persecution around them, and who learned the hard knocks, the school of hard knocks, hard times, how to do hard work and even be a slave and be abused and to have their own family stolen and to have everything taken away from them or burned down. Well, that's real persecution. And Yahva allowing, some of us will also follow the tune, follow in your steps, and then we'll be perfected. We'll be tried in the oven, as it were, as in the furnace of affliction, the furnace of fire, and let our faith be tried pure as gold, and then it'll take out all the impurities that we have in us. How am I going to live? Will that make a difference as to how I relate to Yahva? How is our relationship coming along with the Father and you? Thank you for joining me today on YahvaYahweh.name. My email address is Stephan Yah. That's T-S-E-P-H, Azadi, T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H, Stephan Yah at YahvaYahweh.name. Shalom.